You're listening to Rockwire.com, online radio that rocks. From Rockwired Sound in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places, this is Jazzed in Blue, profiles in blues and jazz with your host Brian Lush, exclusively at Rockwire.com. Our premiere edition of Jazzed in Blue features interviews and music by Grammy-winning jazz legend Diane Shure, the eclectic acoustic jazz sounds of Verano, and the earnest musicality of jazz pianist Randall Kay. Stick around for more. Jazzed in Blue is a production of Rockwired Media, LLC, a limited liability company. Please stand by. Welcome to the final segment here at Jazzed in Blue, exclusively at Rockwired.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush. Randall Kay is a jazz performer on the rise. He has just been nominated for the Los Angeles Music Award for Jazz Artist of 2011 on the strength of his self-titled debut CD. I had a chance to catch up with Randall Kay, and you'll hear that interview in just a few minutes. From his self-titled debut CD, here is Randall Kay with Forbidden Fruit.
Today, I'll feel the blow 10 years from now.
From his self-titled debut CD, that was Randall K. with Forbidden Fruit. Visit Randall at his official website, www.randallkwakefield.com. I had a chance to catch up with Randall regarding his debut release, and here's how the interview went.
Well, Randall, you've got a great CD out now, and now that all the work that's gone into making it is behind you, how do you feel about the finished work?
Well, I mean, there is the long and short answer. I mean, on one hand, I'm very gratified that it's all done. Of course, you know, I think anybody who produces anything, it's hard for them to be completely objective about it. You know, it's very easy to listen back and, you know, think, oh, that could have been done differently. That could have been fixed, you know, and just pick out all the things you don't like, but that other people necessarily aren't going to be clued into, you know. So on one hand, I am proud of it. You know, I'm proud of it. I think I have a pretty distinctive sound and approach, and you know, I'm continuing to write now. So I just hope that comes across.
I see. What has your recording experience been like before this release? Is this a first time out for you, or is it?
This is pretty much the first time. I mean, I'm someone who, music is, growing up, you know, I've always loved music and such, but it was more of a peripheral thing. I never considered it really a viable option. You know, it was just something some of those tracks I'd never recorded them or anything, but I had had them written out, you know, for years, and just decided, you know, it was just a matter of finding the right time to get into a studio and to put them down. So, yeah, as far as what you're hearing, that's pretty much a first-time effort as far as studio work goes.
And who did you work with in terms of production?
Interesting question. There were two main producers on them. One guy, his background is a little bit more old school. His name is Keg Johnson. He's worked from people, the Spinners, the Four Tops. He was clued into my sound because he heard some classic elements, you know, that appealed to him, you know, Minnie Riperton. I mean, he goes way back. And there's another guy who worked on some of the tracks. His name is Kevin Tony. He's a very prominent, actually, jazz pianist. He used to work with the Blackbirds, and so both of these guys appealed to me, and I appealed to them because of the similarities in what we appreciated.
And what were they like to work with, each of them?
Well, interesting. They both had different styles. Keg Johnson and the engineer that we worked with, his name was Zimmerman, so they were more about laying everything out in advance. Even, you know, everything was studio-oriented. Since I consider myself primarily a pianist, you know, I was a little bit taken aback that, you know, we weren't using a real piano. Everything was tied into the Pro Tools and stuff. So that was, for me, just watching them work was a learning experience of how to manipulate a studio, you know, how you can easily get so many sounds to authentically replicate. So you don't necessarily need the traditional setup. And it was very impressive because it was just two guys, and between the three of us, we were able to produce all these different approaches. So they were more about building tracks from the ground up. They would start with my piano, me laying that down, or not piano, but quote-unquote piano. That was just, you know, I don't know. I'm showing my ignorance as far as technical stuff.
I see. But you mean in like an electronic keyboard or something?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
And it was all tied into, I think it might have been I don't know, whatever that system is people use now.
Oh, okay.
So I would like, but the first thing laid down would be my piano track, and they would build around, they would build over that. So it's like starting, I mean, you have a creative background, creative writing background, so it would be like starting with a blank piece of paper. And in the beginning, that can seem very daunting, because it's like, oh my gosh, there's nothing here, and yet, you know, there's a pressure to create, you know, something very expansive from nothing. So that was a little intimidating. And, you know, studios, I think a lot of performers will say this, especially people who perform, like to perform live, that a studio can be somewhat a sterile environment, you know? I mean, you're surrounded by all this equipment, and even when you're recording, it's, you know, behind plastic booths and stuff, so... And yet, again, they were very good about being able to build stuff. Kevin Tony, he is a full-blown, you know, musician. So he was very... when we recorded the tracks, we went to a studio, and it was done live with other musicians. So it was almost like... opposite approaches. You know, there was a drummer and a bass player, and it was like a trio. So, and he was a perfectionist in a different way. He was a perfectionist about, you know, since we have this musical foundation, we want to make sure that what you're putting on top of it vocally is matching. So he was one. He liked to do different takes, you know. And I remember, I don't know, they were both very different. And, yeah, that's all I'll say.
Okay.
I tend to ramble.
And talk about how music began for you. How did that start?
Well, you know, I'm from Southern California. There was never a time when music was not something that I enjoyed, but my parents probably first took note that, let's see, my dad had a pair of bongo drums. And I used to play on them, and I was maybe a toddler, maybe 4 or 5, but I think my dad noticed that I had very good rhythm, very consistent, you know. And one thing is, when you're a little kid, you know, everything you do is cute or appealing, and so sometimes people will praise everything a little kid does because he's so young and doing it. But I think my dad really noticed that, oh, aside from this being, you know, very adorable, like, oh, my son has, you know, pretty solid rhythm. Maybe we should see what we can, you know, what we can extract from this. So shortly after that, he enlisted me in piano lessons, and I started that when I was about 8 or 9. And again, it wasn't anything, it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to be a musician. It was just more, in fact, I didn't really appreciate the lessons at the time because it was so regimented. So it was, you know, a little old lady, who I you know, I loved her personality. Her name was Mrs. Gallucci. And she would say the same thing to me every week. Oh, Randall, you're such a good boy, but if you would only practice, you know? Because I never, I would practice, but on the side, I would be kind of coming up with whatever I liked. I was an ear player, and I would still say that primarily I play by ear. I can pick up things much faster just by, you know, trying to listen to it and playing it out than if I try to read. So come time for recital, you know, she would think that I wasn't going to have anything prepared because, or whatever I was playing, it would be subpar because I wasn't really practicing like I should have been. But then she would be very taken aback because I'd play, you know, whatever my repertoire was that she assigned, and then I would do something else, my own little composition, you know. And she would be very impressed, and everybody would be taken aback that, you know, oh, he has no music. What's he doing? He, you know, because at a recital, it's almost like sacrilegious if you're a classical musician and you're not reading music. And they, you know, their approach just tends to be a little bit more regimented. So that made me notice. The responses that I was getting as a kid made me notice that maybe music was something that I, you know, could, you know, do. Conceivably.
Visit Randall at his official website, www.randallkwakefield.com. From his self-titled debut CD, here is Randall K with Show Me the Way.
questions are still on my mind. Where am I going? Why am I not knowing the best way to handle my time? Answer me, please, in a dream I can see, so I won't think I'm losing my mind. Life is so sweet, what a people can be. For the things that are free, one for you, one for me.
Show me the way when the bells stop ringing.
Savior, with my best behavior, I wonder if he'd be so kind as to check out my flavor. I know it's a favor for him to keep me on his mind, but I need an answer to settle my mind. I need your loving so gentle and kind. Give me your love and send right from above. Give me permission to bask in your love.
Listening to Jazzed in Blue, profiles in blues and jazz exclusively at rockwire.com, online radio that rocks. Rockwire.com is pleased to present the Rockwired Artist of the Month, Revis, and their latest release, Do We Have to Beg? It's been 8 years since the band first electrified listeners with their stellar debut, and Revis has made up for lost time with a strong, sturdy collection of songs as evidenced by the lead single, Save Our Souls.
You took me way too high.
This is rock and roll. This is Revis, Rockwired.com's Artist of the Month. Visit the band at their official website, www.revisrocks.com. This message is brought to you by Rockwire.com, online radio that rocks. Put a little Rockwired on you. Rockwire.com has just relaunched its merchandise page filled with t-shirts, long-sleeved shirts, hoodies, mugs, and caps. Trust me, nothing looks better on the human body than clothing that shows your support of online radio that rocks. All shirts and jackets are available in all sizes and brought to you by Cafe Press. Visit our store at rockwire.com/merchandise.html. All major credit cards are accepted. Rockwire.com, online radio that rocks. Rockwire.com proudly presents our latest weekly series, Jazzed in Blue, profiles in blues and jazz with your host Brian Lush, exclusively at Rockwire.com, every Sunday at noon Eastern Standard Time. Get lost in the sensual sounds of blues and jazz and get the stories behind it. Jazzed in Blue, profiles in blues and jazz exclusively at Rockwire.com. Online radio that rocks. Rockwired Media is pleased to present a new weekly online radio series, Aboriginal Sounds, a celebration of contemporary Native music. Hear the exciting sound of Indigenous America and Canada in a weekly two-hour show filled with exclusive interviews and music from Indian country's hottest recording artists. Aboriginal Sounds, a celebration of contemporary Native music with your host Brian Lush, every Thursday at 5 p.m. Mountain Time, exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. You're listening to Jazzed in Blue, profiles in blues and jazz exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. Welcome back to Jazzed in Blue, profiles in blues and jazz exclusively at rockwire.com. I'm your host Brian Lush, and today we're giving it up for Randall K and his self-titled debut CD. I had a chance to speak with Randall in regard to his debut release, and here's how the rest of the interview went.
And explain, if it can be explained, the creative process for you. I mean, how do you go about composing and things like that? How does that work for you?
If there's a specific formula that I employ, I'm not aware of it. Not yet, anyway. I haven't been doing it long enough. But because a few of my songs, like I would say, I have a song called Forbidden Fruit. So with a song like that, it came to me very easily, just the idea of the lyric. I mean, it's about being a little bit rebellious, feeling bad about it, but feeling a little bit good about it at the same time. It was just a very from-the-gut thing that I wanted to write about, and it took me probably lyrically, maybe it might have taken me like maybe 45 minutes to come up with the concept. And, I was an English major, so writing is in my background, so I'm always tweaking stuff. So what I'll do is I might jot down the kernel of the idea and write down a few stanzas, and then I'll maybe tick over it over the next, as long as it takes me. So with a song like that, it definitely started with the lyrics, but with other songs, it started with the groove. I mean, it's really all over the place. So usually, I have a kernel of an idea or a concept. With the songs I'm writing now, I'm trying to learn how to not draw from my own life so directly. And that's one thing that being an English major was good preparation for, because they say if you're going to write fiction, everything that you write is coming from you, so it's impossible for it not to involve you. But at the same time, you don't necessarily want to be writing your diary, word for word, or your journal word for word as you continue to put out music, because that can become very one-dimensional. So I'm learning how to dress up. Or it can be very mundane, you can say, hey, I feel sad, I feel happy, but sometimes being plain spoken can be a liability if you want to really grab someone. So you can learn how to give your statement more weight by dressing it up a little bit. So that's what I've been learning to do with the songs I've been writing. So let's see. So my approach is usually from lyrics, but other songs, like I have a song called Solitaire, and that's more of a groove. So sometimes it's about fitting the words with the groove. I mean, still the music will have to embody what I'm trying to say, but it's not quite so emphasized on the words. Does that make any sense?
It does. Makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
And what song, with that being said, though, what songs off this album resonate for you the most personally and why?
Well, let's see. Definitely Forbidden Fruit, because I would say that I go through that every day of feeling like I'm not a saint. I just never had a real chance to be a sinner, you know? Like, I'm not a malicious person, but I make mistakes all the time without necessarily setting out to do them. But I also figure that, I mean, let's see, I grew up in church. And while it's not as strong a part of my background now as it used to be, there are a lot of old-timers in church who talk about all the things they used to do. You know, don't do what I did. But they fail to acknowledge that a lot of those things that they did were very enjoyable, you know. Oh, when I was young, I used to do this and do that. But now we're in our last days, you know. And it's like, oh, so when you were in Pop Pop or you were in Grandma, you know, we're out and about. You weren't in your last days then, so you got to experience the, you know, there's a process. There's a very
right.
human process. So it took you a whole lifetime to get to the point of knowing that, oh, what I did was so destructive, and don't do it now, you know. But no matter what, your offspring are going to make certain mistakes. And so Forbidden Fruit is kind of my way of feeling like, hey, I ain't a saint, but just never had no real chance to be a sinner. But I'm not necessarily out to be malicious. I'm just kind of going through a process. And like I said, I feel a little bit bad about it, but I feel a little bit good about it at the same time. So that resonates with me. I have another song called Muse. That song is more about the creative process in and of itself. Because I guess as a musician, as a songwriter, I kind of struggle with this idea of having something interesting to say about myself, but at the same time not. A lot of journalists, you know, there's a lot of, how can I say, exploitation that can come about from sharing too much of yourself. And sometimes I notice that people will intentionally do things because they think it's going to get an interesting story out of themselves, you know? So that song is about me kind of forewarning myself, like, hey, like, you want to pursue this and you think you have a story to tell, but make sure you're not embellishing to the point where you're screwing up your own life just so you have something interesting to say. So those songs resonate with me as far as, you know, the words go. And let's see, Solitaire resonates with me just because it's very fun to play and it's more, has a classic jazz sound to it. And I can, I don't know, sometimes I play that song and it can go on for, you know, 8 minutes, 9 minutes. So, like I said, it's for different reasons, for different songs.
What would you like a person to come away with after they've heard this CD?
I've had a few people comment that my songs, some of what I write is, there's a certain naivete to them. And I actually, at first, I didn't quite like hearing that, but at the same time, you know, that's kind of true because that's who I am. I'm not fully formed yet. I'm not fully formed, but I think I am pretty good about articulating where it is that I am right now, you know? There's kind of a dichotomy between the two because people assume that If you're not fully formed, that you have nothing to say necessarily. You know, I sometimes in school, I remember being pretty sensitive and trying to get my point across, you know, in a bait or something. And if someone was older than me, they would say, "Well, you're only 17 or you're only 18. What do you think you have to say about this or that?" And to me, that's kind of irrelevant because, I mean, that person was 18, 17. Am I not allowed to feel like I have some idea of what I feel because I'm younger or older, or, you know? So I would like someone to get a sense of an articulate, a sensitive person who's still growing, but someone who's musically inclined but doesn't allow either the words or the music to overtake one another.
Visit Randall at his official website, www.randallkwakefield.com. From his self-titled debut CD, here is Randall K. with Solitaire. download this portion of Jazzed in Blue, simply scroll to the bottom of the page and click Download Part 3. That's going to do it for this edition of Jazzed in Blue. A special thanks goes out to Diane Schuer, Lynn Verano, Ken Revis, Randall Kay, and Doug Deutsch of Doug Deutsch Publicity Services. A special thanks goes out to Elise Kingsley of Muse Media and Michael Ricci at allaboutjazz.com. For Rockwired, I'm Brian Lush, and remember, keep your eyes forward, never look back, and make it up as you go. Jazzed in Blue is a production of Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company, and is available exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks.